brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. And I greet you amidst all that goes on in the world. And as we look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that began a good work in each and every one of us and will indeed carry it on to completion. How you doing out there? How is all in your life in the way that God is directing and leading and guiding you as He's guiding you into all truth? Part of truth is also the revelation of what is not true. And so that we can make a decision, that we can make a choice, that we can go forward in that which is real, or we can choose to reject what is real in exchange for something else that's within us, and to align with that fallen side of who we are, apart from God. Now, that decision is something that people make, and they make within themselves. Even as Luke 17, 20 and 21 says, the kingdom of God is within us. The decision is made within us of who we're going to be, what we're going to be, what we're going to be about, which direction we're going to go. Are we going to choose to reject the light and the truth when it's made known to us, or are we going to accept it and yield to it and to go with the kingdom of God and all that entails? And that's a decision that each and every one of us make. When you look at Jesus and John, there's a great example of two different people that were on the earth, and the spirit of truth flowing through them, and because people didn't want that spirit, didn't want what God was doing with them, because of that, they rejected. They rejected them, and so they didn't reject them on the basis they rejected them ultimately because of the spirit that was in them. But they would say, okay, here's Jesus, he's a drunkard, a wine bibber, he's a friend of all kinds of unsorted people, and here's John, and even though, because Jesus came eating and drinking, so they look at this guy and they say, oh, okay, here's a guy that's like this, and then here's John the Baptist, who doesn't eat, doesn't drink, you know, living out there in the wilderness, wearing a garment made with camel a belt made with camel hair, and he's out there. And with him, they're like, oh, well, here's a guy that's crazy. Here's a guy that's demon possessed. Here's a guy, you know. And so it's just kind of like, you look at it, but it's like, but what was it that they were truly rejecting? Well, they were rejecting the truth. They were rejecting that which God had put within them. They were rejecting the light that God would bring forward in the world through those people. Now, some people wanted the light. Some people wanted the truth. Some people wanted the answer. And to them were these sent. You know, they were sent. Jesus said, you know, I was sent for the lost sheep of Israel. He was sent for them. And then he sent out his disciples two by two. He said, look, I'm giving you a charge now. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He had them do this, and he sent them, but also the scriptures talk about how the many are called, but the chosen are few, in that there's many that are called, but there's also a lot of people that reject that because of what's within them and what they want within this world and what they are willing to give up in exchange for to be something in this world. To be somebody in this world. Now, the danger of that is that in Mark chapter 8, what is a profit of man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So what do you get if you get it all, but then you lose who you are, you lose your soul, you lose yourself, you lose the true nature of who God ever made you to be in order to be something? And if anybody stops and thinks about it, they would realize that that was a bad thing to do. But that's why so many people in the world can't stop and think. They don't want to. That's why they just go from one distraction to the next, one place to the next, one relationship to the next, one activity to the next, one drunken frenzy to the next, because they can't stop. Because if they stop and any of this stuff starts to process and get through, they would melt down. This is why when people pass away, it's a moment of reflection that many of them are very uncomfortable with, because it just reminds them of their own mortality, and also the fact that, you know, what they're engaged in right now may not be the right thing, and they don't want that. So that's also why it says that Solomon's writing said it's better to be in the house of mourning than a house of feasting. Well, why? Because, well, you get some perspective there. You get a way to number your days there. You know, David asked God to do that for him, to help him to number his days aright. You know, to help him keep that perspective of the fact that we're all just passing through this life. This life is not our final destination. This life is not our home. But we're just passing through. And while we're passing through, you want to pass through with the direction of where you're going being by the Spirit of the living God. Because then you can live an authentic and a real life. Then you don't have to forfeit your soul. And you can be in possession of your soul. You can be the steward of your soul, and God can lead and guide you into all truth, and your soul has been yielded to the living God. So that's the direction of life. That's the direction of truth. And that's also the thing that the world would want to keep you away from. So the world and the world system, is the desire of that system is to keep you away from the truth, to keep you away from the light, to keep you out of that, to block the entrances and the access points to the truth. Now, you know, go back 10, 15 years ago, well, further than that, but, you know, pre-internet, well, where would you find messages? How would they get out there? And so often, if you think about it, there were blocks. There were two truth speakers. There were very few places where they could come forward, because the institutions were established to keep that away from people. And so as, you know, as there's been a growth of this increase of knowledge, as the prophecy of Daniel is being fulfilled, and that's part of what was in the scriptures that said, you know, in the final days, that knowledge would increase and men would go to and fro in the earth. Well, does that sound like today? Of course it does. Knowledge has been increased tremendously, exponentially on the earth. Your access to knowledge today on the earth is greater than at any time in our known history. So knowledge has increased. At the same time, too, wisdom and understanding seems to be at a lack. And it's interesting that that scripture talked about knowledge increasing, but not necessarily wisdom and understanding. Well, wisdom and understanding are gifts that come from God. You know, if any man lacks wisdom, in James it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. You know, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, the door is open. But how often will people not ask? And because they don't ask, they don't receive. They don't seek, so they don't find. They don't knock, and the door is never open for them. And God wants that from his people, too. He wants them to ask. Ask him. Ask your Father, so that he can also increase your joy, and that your joy can be complete. He wants to bless you. But also, at the same time, too, he also knows your path, and he knows that which would be the best for you, that which would be the fulfillment that you desire within your own soul. you know, sometimes people they misappropriate what it is that some of the main things of life. Like, for example, why do so many people chase after money? Well, part of it is because, you know, in this world, money gives them access. It gives them a type of power in this world. It's a store of value, you know. I should say currency is what people chase after. There's a big difference between currency and money. you know, and currency is not money. Currency is... That's even a tool of the world set up to erode the value that you create even while it's just sitting there right in front of you. So that's a trick in and of itself. That's part of what perpetuates the world system and gets everybody strained and nervous and perplexed, because they're constantly trying to shovel the water out of a boat that's sinking, because they're always losing the value of whatever they create. So that's currency, you know. At least true money and true wealth would hold its value, but the world doesn't want you to even have access to that. So it tries to keep you away from that so that you can... So it wants to... Again, what does the world do? What does the thief do? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So that's how you know that currency, the way that it's set up, is a tool of the enemy, because it's the very tool itself is designed to steal. It's designed to steal from you, but people participate in it and use it, and in the use of it, they see their value stolen right in front of them. You know, so those are some things just to see, to observe, and then say, and then you bring it back to God and say, okay, Lord, how do we relate? How do we go through this life? What do we do here while we're here in this time? And ask. Ask him, because he wants to show you. He wants to lead and guide you into all truth. And the bigger thing, why do people chase after money? Well, because of all these things that they think that it can give them. But in the end, what you want is, you don't want money, really. You want a fulfilled life. You want a fulfilled life. You don't, I mean, people think that if they get money, they'll get a fulfilled life, and that's not the case. It's not true. I know more and more people, so many people that have resources, that have wealth in the eyes of the world, but do not have a fulfilled life. A fulfilled life is something that God gives. It's a blessing from God. And there's a blessing that comes from going on his path, from being what it is that he intends for you to be. And by following him, and that fulfillment coming. Now, whether you have or you don't have, that's, you know, in the eyes of the world, that's secondary. Now, what did God promise? Well, God did promise, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, in Matthew chapter 6. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about your needs. He's talking about that which you need, God will take care of. That which you need, God will provide. You put the first things first, and he will take care of the other details of your life, and you can bring those things before him. But, you know, so often what people want, they don't want their needs, they want their greeds. And so often with those things, those are what end up destroying people's lives, because there's a lot of people that's not going to help them. There's a parable of the sower, and talks about the sower sowing the word. And one of the places where the sower sows the seed is where there's weeds that grow up with it, and it chokes the seed and it makes it unfruitful. And you know, Jesus is explaining the parable later on to the disciples. He talks about how it's the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this world choke it and make it unfruitful. Well, okay, well, where does the fruit come from? Well, when a plant is growing and it has good soil and has the right conditions, and it pushes forward that fruit, and because it can put all of its energy and all of its nutrients and everything that's there into creating that fruit, that is a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful byproduct of it being what it is. But the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this world, if they are the pursuit, if they are there and they are the focus point, well, what does it do? It's taking that energy, it's taking that focus, it's taking that, it's draining that off, because now that energy is being taken by those weeds. That energy that could potentially have gone to developing and bringing that forth is being taken by those weeds. And so in the product, the byproduct of that is that what happens, the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this world make it unfruitful. And how often does that happen? How often does it happen that all of these things in this life, you can turn around and they can have stripped you of that focus, stripped you of that which God desired to do within you? Now, there's other analogies and other examples of where the seed was sown. You know, one was on the path, and right away the birds came and took it away, so that it just right away the devil came to snatch that word away from the heart, so it didn't have any chance. That if the devil could have his way, he would always do that. He would always snatch the word away. How often, for you brothers and sisters out there that broadcast and that publish, how often have you seen when those that speak the truth or those that speak the word, their pages get removed, their sites get attacked, their podcasts get taken down from other channels and other places where they have third-party service providers? How often have you seen that? A lot. You've seen that a lot. We've all seen that a lot. And at the same time, you know, the dog videos stay up. The all of these other, you know, and some of the most atrocious things out there stay up. But the truth, they want to snatch that away and keep that from getting out. So we've seen that. That's just that should be an indicator to you of just, okay, this is real. This is what's going on. This is how it works. But the devil would keep that truth from you because he knows that if it takes root in you, what it could potentially end up doing. Because that which grows up, which God puts in you, will grow up to destroy his kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. Because the truth that is in you, the light that's in you, the darkness can never overcome the light. You know, you put a light, you can have the darkest room there is, and if you just light a tiny candle in that room, it scatters the darkness, it pushes it back, because all the darkness that's there cannot overcome that tiny little light. So the enemy knows that if any of this stuff takes root within you, that it will turn around to his own destruction. So he tries to keep it away from you. There's another one where the seed that falls on the shallow soil, and it grows up really quick. It comes up, but it has no roots because the soil is shallow. And so when the testing comes, when the persecution comes, so basically because it had no root, it withers away with the heat of the sun. And how often does that happen in this life? And there's so many fair weather people that when things get difficult, when the press begins, especially for the truth, when the persecution comes for the truth, they wilt away. They don't want to be seen or known or associated with that. Now, Jesus said, you know, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So there is something to keep in mind with that too, is that, you know, how when people in this life and in this world, when they're proud of in themselves of the most heinous acts and the worst abominations that are there, and yet there's many that would call themselves followers of God that are ashamed of the truth and ashamed to stand up for that truth, and they're quiet about it. Well, in this corrupt generation and in this time of transition, well, that's not a good thing. And, you know, find out, if that's you and you struggle with that, find out why within you that that's there. Because at the same time that there are those that would be ashamed of the truth that are out there, and when they when they back off, what they do is they also leave others to pick up the slack, others to stand there and to take the hits. They don't, they're not there with them. And that's hard. That's hard for, because that those gifts are missing on the front lines. Those gifts are missing in the fight. You know, there is a fight that's on. There is a battle, there is a clash, and God is engaged in what's going on in this world. God is engaged in what's taking place on this planet at such a time as this. His kingdom is coming, His will is being done. You know, there's that, again, back to Daniel, you know, there is the prophecy that was there, the vision that was there, that was given to Nebuchadnezzar of the statue that had all of these different, the head of gold, the chest of silver, you just go down, you've got the bronze, you've got the iron feet mixed with clay, and each of those different representations of things that would happen in time and different kingdoms that would come up. And Daniel, and then in the middle of all of that, you have the rock that was cut out of the side of a mountain that was without human hands cut, and it came and it smashed that idol, pulverized it, and it became like chaff on a threshing floor, and the wind blew and swept it away, and there was no trace of it. And then that rock that came and smashed it grew and filled the whole earth. I mean, that is something that we're seeing. You know, God promised that He would shake everything that could be shaken. And we're seeing that. Are we not seeing that right now? In all that's taking place on this earth at this time, are we not seeing God shaking all that can be shaken? Now, for people that doubt the scriptures, well, okay, tell me, this is out there. God told us well in advance so that we would not lose heart. Because Jesus also said, you know, take heart. You know, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have it. John 16, the end of that chapter. He promised us and He told us we're going to have trouble. And He did not want us to be overcome by this world and this world system. So He told us in advance so that we would know and that we could move forward in that knowledge of truth. That we knew that we were not left alone here. That we knew that we had a helper, the Holy Spirit, that would lead and guide us into all truth. We knew that we had an answer. All we had to do was ask. All we had to do was seek. All we had to do was knock. And He would be there with us through this all. He would lead and guide us through this all. In the middle of all of this too, Jesus also talked about the seed that falls on the good soil and grows up and becomes, and it bears incredible fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. And God is doing that. God is doing that with His people. Those that with a good heart receive that truth and persist on in it. You know, the thing is sometimes too life gets rough, sometimes too things come up, but you keep going, you keep persisting. You know in whom you have believed, as Paul says, and you are persuaded that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think. You know who you believe. You know who called you. You know who he is, and He's put that in you. And by that place, you move forward and you persist. And as you persist, that fruit is born in you. Now, the fruit is, there's different aspects of that, but one example of that is, well, in Galatians 5:22 through 23, you have Well, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thoughtfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against all there is no law. Against such there is no law. So you have, well, you've got the character and the nature of God being birthed in you. That is one of the things, that's one of the parts, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, that's part of the fruit of this journey, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, being manifest on the earth as you persist and follow God in this time through all of the obstacles, challenges, and detriments that come in this world for anybody that would try to and decide to take God at His word and follow Him. As you persist, God's nature, God's character is revealed in you. And God wants to do that in you. But it's going to come on His terms and not yours. It's going to come on His path, His way, His plan, His purpose, not yours. That's the difference between Him being Lord, Him being King, and you being God in your own life. See, why did God teach us to pray? When people asked Him, His disciples asked Him, and they said, in Matthew 6, they asked Him, said they wanted to know how to pray. And He said, okay, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's how He taught His disciples to pray. And there's so much in that prayer. And you can just pray straight like that, or you can pray through each and every piece of that and all of the things that extend off of each and every piece. Well, why did God teach us to pray, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done? Well, because you, as a free will agent on this earth, you can make a decision. Do you want to follow the darkness or do you want to follow the light? And in making that decision and in making that choice, you know, that it's respected. And so when God gave that to us, that ability to choose, He also, so when you make the choice and you make the decision to follow Him, when you make the choice to yield to His Spirit, to yield to Him, when you do that, now you are submitting yourself to the King and to His Lordship. Now, scriptures talk about us being the bride of Christ. You know, scriptures talk about us being, you know, that being part of how God relates to His church. Well, who would want a bride that has eyes for someone else? Who would want a bride that doesn't want to be there? But God doesn't want that. He wants those that choose to follow. So His heart goes out to His church and to His people, but those that respond is somebody else. Is you know, not all of them respond. You know, He called out to, during His day, He called out to a lot of people and they rejected. And then He called out to the Gentiles and they accepted. You know, there was that element there too. You know, there's a lot of people that were invited for the wedding feast and a lot of them rejected. But God continued to persist. Why? Because He wants people there that want to be there. He wants people there that see what it is. He wants people there that their desire is to be with Him, to follow Him. He doesn't want robots. God wants those that love Him, that reciprocate His love, that reciprocate it back to Him. So, you know, there is that element there too of, and this is again one of the mysteries of the church, the true church. Not, listen, when we talk about church, and this is where I get sometimes, if you guys have been listening in, you know this, we have to make the distinction between the true church of the living God, which is the body of those that know him, that are connected to the source, and that follow him, that's the true church. And they don't have necessarily a building, although they could meet in structures, but they're it's a spiritual connection, it's a spiritual union. That's the church. And there's a distinction between them and the organization of the church, the institution of the church, which has sought to block the truth, sought to keep people away from the truth, and to trap people that were escaping from the bondage. They stood up there and took advantage of people's ignorance, took advantage of people's lack of understanding. My people perish for lack of knowledge is what the scriptures say. So people didn't know, and they said, well, these guys over here, they're talking about Jesus too. They must be all right, and they've got a degree on the wall, and they've got a fancy robe they wear. And there's other people that are there that say they're okay, so that must be it. But the end result of it is that is a deception too, because, listen, every person is going to be what God made them to be, and not what they choose to be in and of themselves. So you cannot choose to, you can't choose to say, oh, okay, I'm going to go do this and be this. You can, but you don't have the Spirit of God quickening you or the grace of God to do that. You want the grace of God to do what God's called you to do. That's where the power flows. Because, you know, if you are not true to who God made you to be, you can go forward and you can try to do something, but it's not him. It's you making those decisions. And so a lot of times what happened is people said, okay, they want to do this and that, and they still want to be somebody in the world, so they're going to just try to slap a spiritual label on it, and that's how they're going to go forward. So that's where you get the whole quote-unquote worship leader culture in many of the churches, where they're just kind of grade B wannabe rock stars standing up there doing a performance. You can tell, oh my gosh, you can tell when somebody is truly connecting and worshiping the Lord for who he is, and when somebody's trying to perform. Oh my gosh, such a difference. And you know the difference, and God knows the difference. So, yeah, no, you don't, you, so there is a difference between the church of the living God and the world system of the church, which seeks to steal that label, again, back to stealing, killing, and destroying. They seek to steal the label and to steal the resource and to steal that which God intended. But now, as we're moving forward in this time of light and truth, we're seeing more and more, we're seeing how people are understanding the difference, and they're not apologizing for their understanding of the difference too. That's another thing too that the world would always work to do, is if somebody started seeing that what things were, they would seek to shame you, they would seek to guilt you, they would seek to throw something on you so that you wouldn't move forward in that truth, because they couldn't afford you waking up anybody else. And if anything, they wanted you to go back to sleep. And if you weren't going to go back to sleep, they just wanted to push you into the desert or someplace where you couldn't potentially wake anybody else up. But it's not working anymore. And people are moving forward in that truth, and the message is getting out, and the light is moving forward and streaming forward, and people are waking up, and they don't know what to do. The world doesn't know what to do now, so they're going crazy. They're going crazy trying to put this all back together. And you know, they've been pushing for nuclear war for a while now, just because they don't want souls to get away. They don't want souls to wake up. They don't want souls to be with God. So they wanted to harvest them while they're in a delusion, harvest them while they're ignorant, harvest them before the light reaches them and they realize and they're quickened. They don't want to see a day of Pentecost where 3,000 souls are pricked in the heart and are open to the truth and come and follow the living God and are baptized then and there. They don't want that. They don't want that. They don't want people to be free. So they want to harvest those souls and to keep them and to recycle them and to bring them back here and to keep them from ever escaping, to keep them, to pull them into hell. That's what they want. And so they, as the light and truth is getting out and is exposing everything in the process of all of that, they're going nuts. Now, you brother, you sister in Christ, this is where you need to allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide you, and you need to apply the wisdom that comes from on high that you can ask God for, that He will give you. Apply the wisdom and apply the knowledge and understanding that He shows you so you can navigate through this time on the earth and you can accomplish the purposes that God has for you. But know that the world is not the world's not your friend. And the world, if it has its way, it would kill you or knock you off or blind or stop that light from ever coming forward through you. So just know that. And know that if God does open up windows and places where you would be having position or access in the world, like Joseph did, or like Daniel did, just know that you got to listen to the Spirit of God, and you can't get enamored with the trinkets. You can't get enamored with the access. You can't be a respecter of persons. Remember when Daniel... There was that. So as there's a transition in the kingdom that he was in as an advisor. Now, both Daniel and Joseph were slaves at one point, you know, in their progression. So that's something to keep in mind too. They spent years in Joseph spent years in the dungeon, and Daniel was brought into slavery at 16. Even though he was trained at a high level, but he was still enslaved. But as those guys moved forward, Daniel was... So you've got that transition that was taking place in the kingdom that was Nebuchadnezzar's, and as things were taking place there, and they had that feast, and they took articles that they had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and they took them, and they were there, and they were eating and drinking, you know, and toasting to their gods of gold and silver, and just basically just kind of throwing it in God's face. And in the middle of all of that, God said, okay, you know, well, here. And so then there was a hand that appeared and wrote on the wall in front of all of them, and it said, "Mini, mini, tekel, parson." Now, in the process of that happening, all these guys just, the party was over. They all turned white as ghosts. They were freaked out by it, and nobody knew what it meant or what it said, and they were freaked out. Now, Daniel was, they were trying to figure out how to interpret this whole thing, and Daniel, you know, somebody remembered. They're like, well, wait, there's a guy in the kingdom. That he's got this gift that's given by God to be able to interpret dreams and visions, and so they sent for Daniel, and the decree had already been made. You know, if you could interpret this, that you would be given, you know, purple robe, you'd be made the third highest ruler in the land, etc., etc. And when Daniel shows up, they say, "Oh yeah, and if you can interpret this, you know, we're going to give you all this stuff." And Daniel said, "Look, you know, I don't want your gifts. You know, give them to yourself or to somebody else. I don't want your gifts. But I am going to tell you what this says." And ultimately what it said was, not you, you know, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And it said that twice. And you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And, you know, and now the kingdom is taken from you. And that night, that king was killed. So, you know, here's something. God doesn't play. And, you know, people that have been in the world, all these rulers of the world that think that they're controlling, that think that they are, you know, just remember that there is a God above it all. And he sees and he knows and he understands. And he laughs at them in their plans. He laughs at them in their delusions. He laughs at them in their plotting and scheming against him and his people. You know, at the same time, you know, the children of God, we do take hits while we're in this life, but, you know, we persist. And God is going to have his way, and the children of God are going to move in the power that God has given them. So this is the time where we move forward in that. We move forward in the power that God has put in us, and we accomplish the purposes and plans that he intends. But this comes on his direction, his leading, his guiding, his purpose. And his plan will be manifest in you. As you seek it, you're going to find it. As you knock, that door is going to open. So remember, ask, and you shall receive. And with that, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi to us there. There's a Facebook page, but obviously Facebook doesn't like us much. So, you know, if you guys have watched there, I think we've successfully lost 14,000 people off of our page over the last couple of years. So just slowly but surely they're being eroded. New people are being added all the time, but then, they've just been slowly but surely just chipping away at us there. And nobody sees it there anyway. So you guys know that that's the reason why we have a landing page. You know, faithmix.com. So, you know, that's going to always be the best starting spot to go to the landing page there. And then whatever other third-party things that we can use, we will. But just keep pressing on, brothers and sisters in Christ. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. So God bless you. In fact, let's just pray together really quick. Father God, we just want to pray together, one for another, in Jesus' name. I pray for my brothers and sisters listening in this day. I pray that you bless them in this path and in this journey. I pray, Father, that you quicken them in their spirits and their hearts. Let them know you're leading and guiding. And Father, lead and guide them into all truth, and let that truth resonate within them, knowing that they are your children and that you are engaged in their lives in all ways. Father, we love you. We trust you. We pray for your protection. We pray for your guidance. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done. And we yield to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.